I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about D-Day.
So grab your allied forces.
And let's get civical. Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And it's June.
Holy.
Whoa.
Freaking crap.
Wow. It is June of 2021, which is just absolutely illegal.
Thrown in jail.
Should be handcuffed. Throw away the key, the fact that it's June. I just feel like May didn't happen. I think because I was so busy in the month of May that it's truly like, I feel like I've just woken up and it's June. I've lost the month. And that's my hot take.
That it is a correct hot take. I feel like I've lost the month. There's just been so much happening, and all I wanted to do was to get to yesterday, because that was when my last assignments for school for my MFA program were due. And I was like, I just need to get to that day. And I did it. I wrote a 14-page paper in a day yesterday, but I did it.
Woo!
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else had crazy maze, but there was something, the planets were doing something. It feels like everybody was just busy, busy. And now I'm hoping that June just, we ease into the summer. We say, hello, summer. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
And there's no better way to start that off than by talking about the one, the only D-Day. Like, weirdly, it's celebratory, but also obviously, like,
hard and full like of trauma and sorrow.
Trauma and
mourning
hard and like,
yeah, it was
like
not
such a mixture of emotions, but a really big day. And I feel like it's interesting to me that D-Day isn't up there in like the federal holidays. Does that seem weird? I mean, I guess it's right after Memorial Day, so they probably get lumped in together. But, like, D-Day's big.
D-Day is big. It's interesting, though, like, if you look at the federal holidays, they very rarely, like, focus on, like, in a... Like, 4th of July, I feel like, is the only one that focuses on an event. Like, the founding of our fair nation. The other ones are, like, birthdays. And, like, we're going to celebrate veterans or people who die. You know, it's, like, more of a, like, all-encompassing catch-all event. Also, it took them to, like, very recently to, like, build a World War II memorial. So, like, the idea of, like, they would be, like, federal holiday D-Day is, just seems very forward-thinking.
That is forward thinking. I don't know. I guess it's like, I guess if you were going to do any, like, holiday of any battle, probably should be this. This one would be in the top three for sure.
For sure.
I would argue.
For sure. Just purely by, like, the amount of people who went, the amount of people who died, the amount of, like, resources, like, just the coordination of it all, the scheming that it took to get it to come through, like,
yes, 100%. I'm excited. I mean, obviously, I think, like most people, World War II, I have such an interest in it for so many reasons. You know, it's obviously, I think I would argue, one of the most complex wars we've engaged in, as far as scope and also like just the many layers of what was going on in the various parts of the world.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to talk about it. I feel like, have we done really much on World War II? I feel like we haven't.
Like, we've talked about it in terms
we've
of
like... We've circled around it.
Yeah. Like, we've like talked about soldiers who served in that or like things that came up like during that era or like, you know, but
we've
we haven't
a lot
actually
about
talked
FDR.
About, yeah. And we haven't talked really any about World War II specifically.
Yeah. I feel like this is our first bit of scratching the surface of World War II. Cause I mean, obviously it'll take us a million episodes to really unpack all of the different layers of it, but I'm excited to get started. And what better place to start than at the end. So with that, do you want to talk about today's Saoirse, Ronan, Saoirses before we hop in?
Yes. Today's Saoirse, Ronan, Saoirses are, we know, we love it, history.com.
Love.
The National World War II Museum.
Love.
And the World War II Memorial website. They're the official website for the World War II Memorial.
Perfection. Obsessed with that. Mm-hmm. Three great sources. So let's start off with the very basics of just sort of laying the foundation of World War II, just to get our ducks in a row before we hop into D-Day. So this is all coming from history.com. During World War II, which was from 1939 to 1945, the Battle of Normandy, which lasted from June 1944 to August 1944, resulted in the Allied liberation of Western Europe from Nazi Germany's control. Codenamed Operation Overlord, which cannot be overlooked.
No.
It cannot be overlooked that we are five years into a devastating global war, And yet the people in charge still have the wherewithal, the space to say, all right, man, what are we going to call this? I know. Let's call it Operation Overlord. I love it. Let's do it.
It's so good. The people who named it should have been naming all of the things in American history.
Absolutely. Operation Overlord? Okay. So, codename Operation Overlord. The battle began on June 6th, 1944. So this would also become known as what we are talking about, D-Day, in which some 156,000 American, British, and Canadian forces landed on five beaches across a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified coast of France's Normandy region. I didn't realize Canada was a part of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, sorry to our Canadian brethren. It was always an American, British, and French thing. It didn't occur to me that Canada was there, too. Welcome to the party, Canada.
Yeah, they were there.
The invasion, D-Day, was one of the largest amphibious military assaults.
Good job. Well done.
I literally saw the word amphibious and thought, that's not what's written. And then it was. It's literally amphibious.
Yep.
It was one of the largest amphibious military assaults in history and required extensive planning. Prior to D-Day, the Allies conducted a large-scale deception campaign designed to mislead the Germans about the intended invasion target. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. A red herring. By late August 1944, all of northern France had been liberated, and by the following spring, the Allies had defeated the Germans. The Normandy landings have been called the beginning of the end of the war in Europe. So this, yes, marks, I think, sort of on the whole, the beginning of the end of the World War to begin with. Like, this was a huge, huge turning point.
And then
from then on, it was just like, bow, we're taking you down here, we're taking you down here. And then finally, after several months, got the Pacific squared away as well. So,
yeah.
Big day, D-Day.
It was a big day. It was a big day. And there was a lot that went into planning it. I mean, coordinating with multiple countries. I don't think I put it in the notes, but at some point I read that there were like 12 full-ass countries involved in this invasion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just we cannot conceptualize it.
No, like all the troops, all of the tanks, like all of the, like, the fooling of Germany, like the whole bit of it. It was like quite astounding that U.S. really pulled it out and did not fuck it up like we have so frequently in recent history.
I mean, because we were not in good shape for a good portion leading up to D-Day. Germany had made some serious advances had basically taken over a huge chunk of France, if not all of France at this point. And the fact that we were able to come back was not a guaranteed thing. I think now it's like, yeah, of course the U.S. and the Allied forces came back and won. But it really was touch and go.
For sure thing.
Lot of luck on that day for sure. Because it could have gone the other way.
It really could have.
It really could have. So very happy this turned out the way it did.
Seriously. So, like we said, there was a lot that went into preparing for the landing on the Normandy beaches. So, at the Tehran Conference in August of 1943, Allied leaders scheduled Operation Overlord to take place on or about May 1st, 1944. So, they had originally planned it to be, like, earlier in the war.
Sure. And they were probably like, you know what? May is a busy month for everybody. A blink of an eye, May is going to be gone. So let's just shoot for June.
Shoot for June. In the meantime, between like deciding that they wanted to do this and then the actual launch day, they prepared for the attack. Trucks, tanks, and tens of thousands of troops poured into England. This is coming from history.com, and this in particular is coming from the World War II Museum. After World War II began, Germany invaded and occupied northwestern France beginning in May of 1940. The Americans entered the war in December of 1941, and by 1942, they and the British, who had been evacuated from the beaches of Dunkirk in May 1940, were considering the possibility of a major Allied invasion across the English Channel. So, like, the Americans get in the war, the British have been in the war, being like, where the fuck you been, you dot s dot, like, thank you for coming to the table, finally.
Yes, it's been 2 years, actually.
It's been two years, actually. Welcome, welcome.
Please welcome, and also SOS, and yes. Thank you, and please now.
Please now help us, because we are at a loss as to, like, they couldn't handle it themselves.
No.
I mean, and really, who could? It's, you're talking lot. About, like, so many countries, and just insane. So they prepared for the invasion. The following year, Allied plans for a cross-channel invasion began to wrap up. In November 1943, Adolf Hitler, who was aware of the threat of an invasion along France's northern coast, put Erwin Rommel in charge of spearheading defense operations in the region, even though the Germans did not know exactly where the Allies would strike.
I love it. So, yeah. I love it. He's like, Erwin, I have a job for you. I want you to stop the invasion. Erwin's like, amazing. Where's the invasion? Hitler's like, I don't know. But you've got to, let's nip it in the bud.
Yep.
And Erwin's like, amazing.
Thank you for giving me the impossible task.
Perfect. This sounds predicting. Like a perfect job for me.
I got you. No worries. We will win this. Like, what the heck? So Hitler charged Rommel with finishing the Atlantic Wall, which I didn't know existed.
Did not know there was a wall in the mix.
I did not know there was a wall. No. Which was a 2,400-mile fortification of bunkers, landmines, and beach and water obstacles.
It's like an obstacle course.
Right. And I wonder, so part of me, I've been to Omaha Beach. I've been to some of the beaches in Normandy. And when you and the bunkers are still there, and they're like teeny tiny little, like you can't like stand up and walk in them. And so you're like, were the Germans super tiny people, or are we just building small buildings? But so like, I think also this wall, yeah, I think the wall is like not a wall. It's like, you know,
a fence.
Like, it's like a, but like a loosely, a loose fence of like bunkers scattered and like,
yeah,
because they're so close together. Like it might as well be a fence. Like if somebody was coming towards them, like the people from the bunkers next door could run out and be like, hold up, or like, you know, shoot them from the windows. Like
you have to, it can't be too tall, or you're right. You can't shoot them. Because the wall's in front of you.
Well, there are windows. There are windows.
Oh, okay. So it's a house.
They look like tiny, very tiny houses.
It's Tiny House Nation on the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel like also they were probably like, we're hoping that the landmines do the majority of the work here.
Yes.
The wall is a, let's call it an afterthought. It's sort of like, last case scenario, you can't get through because there's a wall. Yep. Best case scenario, our landmines blow you up.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just thinking like a general. You know what I
mean? Yeah. Those are good general train of thoughts. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No problem. I got you. Support you. Love you. So then in January of 1944, General Dwight D. Eisenhower was appointed commander of Operation Overlord. So we're making movements.
Yeah.
We're appointing top generals to lead it. Somebody's got to coordinate all of the things and the people. Great. Eisenhower, let's go.
I hope that when he ran for president, that he campaigned on the fact that he was commander of Operation Overlord and used that verbiage. Like, how can you win against the commander of Operation Overlord?
You don't.
Who ran against Eisenhower? Nobody knows, because they were not the commander of Operation Overlord. Lost
they don't
in history.
Matter. They don't matter.
Does not matter.
So then in the months and weeks before D-Day, the Allies carried out a massive deception operation intended to make the Germans think the main invasion target was Pas-de-Calais, which was the narrowest point between Britain and France, rather than Normandy.
Oh my God, it's like a psych!
Yeah, they're like, psych! Normandy is also like a choice, like a area you wouldn't naturally choose if you were going to invade, because of the famous Normandy cliffs. Like, you gotta skate, like, some of those cliffs
get
are really
cliffs.
High. And, like, there are beaches, but then, like, I don't know, the Omaha Beach, like, you look over the side and you're like, holy shit. Like, it's not, like, you just, like, swim up onto the beach and like, hello, boys.
Hey, gentlemen.
We're here to end this war.
Knock, knock.
No, you like scale the fucking wall.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, not a likely place for the Allies to choose. It made more sense that they would choose this like narrow plot of land that they could more easily defend. So they're trying to fool the Germans.
And I love that.
Eisenhower selected June 5th, originally, 1944, as the date for the invasion. However, poor weather on the days leading up to the operation caused it to be delayed for 24 hours.
I mean, look. Rain ruins everything.
Weddings, picnics.
D-Day. You name it.
Invasions.
You name it. I picked Eisenhower. You want the, if because you have one shot at this, right?
Yes.
We've been planning Operation Overlord for months and or a year at this point. We're not going to blow it because of overcast skies. You know, like we're not going to blow it.
No.
I get it. I'm with Eisenhower. We have to proceed with caution.
Yeah, 100%.
The sixth is just as good as the fifth. 100%. Just nobody say anything.
Yep.
I love it.
So then on the morning of June 5th, after his meteorologist predicted improved conditions for the following day, Eisenhower gave the go-ahead for Operation Overlord. He told the troops, quote, you are about to embark upon the Great Crusade, toward which we have striven. But then I guess you would striven? Striven sounds weird. Striven.
It does. It does sound weird. Okay.
Striven. Toward which we have striven these many months, the eyes of the world are upon you.
I don't think it's a strong quote. I'm thinking of like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah.
We are Rohan. We arrive at Minas Tirith. There's like 1 billion orcs. And King Theoden comes up and is like, let's freaking go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is not Bill Pullman in Independence Day, where he says, it is not we will Bill not Pullman go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. No, this is, it's mediocre at best. It's
I feel like we should have gotten a second draft, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. I imagine that it would have come off better in person from Dwight D. Eisenhower than it did me reading it just now.
Yes.
But I completely agree. It's also, he's like, the eyes of the world are upon you. Like, it's up to you, brave men, to go save the... Like, just...
Yeah, I think
just like
the eyes of the world are upon you. Strong ending. Weak beginning.
Yeah.
Pretty fine finish.
Yes. Fine enough finish.
I think it's because he's using striven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the word you need to use.
No.
It's also like, let's not talk about the planning process. Let's talk about now.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about the fact that this is a world war that we're trying to end here. Not, hey, guys, we've been at the drawing table for 365 days. Let's not blow it now. How about, you know, your brethren have been killed by, you know, Germans. Let's get them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Let's get the bastards who killed your family. Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then later that day, more than 5,000 ships and landing craft carrying troops and supplies left England for the trip across the channel to France, where more than 11,000 aircraft were mobilized to provide air cover and support for the invasion. So they're like, they've got land things, they've got water things, they've got air things. Like, they're really...
This is a three-pronged attack.
Yeah.
Land, water, and air.
And air.
And I love that. The elements, really...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Let's talk about the invasion. Dun, 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 dun. Operation Overlord invasion. So by dawn on June 6th, thousands of paratroopers and glider troops were already on the ground behind enemy lines, securing bridges and exit roads. Super cool, super cool.
Really
their
cool.
Job was to blow up bridges, sabotage railroad lines, and take other measures to prevent the enemy from rushing reinforcements to the invasion beaches. Okay, we're thinking like, let's get on the inside. Let's yes. sabotage them so they can't call in reinforcements. They're in for a rude awakening. It's like when somebody ties your shoes together underneath the desk and then you try to walk.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. You fall on your face. How are you going to get to me if there ain't no bridge?
Exactly right. I can't believe I have this word again, but the amphibious invasion began at 6:30 a.m. on June 6th. Bright dang, that's early.
Yep.
The British and Canadians overcame light opposition to capture beaches codenamed Gold, Juno, and Sword, as did the Americans at Utah Beach. Most of the Americans were packed into flat-bottom Higgins boats launched from troop transports 10 miles from the French coastline. Oh, God. Yep. Vomit filled the bottom of the boats as water kept rushing in over the gunwales. The green-faced men had to bail this vile stew with their helmets. Oof. Ugh. Poor men.
I know.
All this description is coming from the World War II Museum, by the way. Though it was cold, the men were sweating. I mean, yeah. Like, they're yes. literally going
I can think of
into...
no better reason than to stress sweat in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, because there is certainly no guarantee of victory. There's such a high level of risk. Like, the fact mm-hmm. that this ended up being a success and a major success was such an act of God. Because it yep. could have very well been that they got onto the French shore and the Germans were ready. You know, there yep. was no guarantee that the Germans didn't know that this was happening.
Yeah.
The fiercest fighting was on Omaha Beach, where the enemy was positioned on steep cliffs that commanded the long, flat shoreline. Troops leapt from their landing boats and were pinned down for hours by murderous machine gun fire that turned the beach into a vast killing field. So, yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen Star Wars, if you have the high ground, it's a real advantage in battle.
It is a real advantage.
And so the Germans had the high ground.
Yes. And it's crazy because you can see the, like, just the craters from, like, bombs, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, here's a bunker, here's a crater, here's a bunker, here's a crater. I mean, like, now it's all pretty and, like, it's lush flowing grass and whatever. But, like, they're there. The craters are there.
Yeah. Yeah. By midday, the Americans had surmounted the cliffs and taken Omaha Beach at a heavy cost. over 4,700 killed, wounded, or missing out of the total of approximately 35,000 who came ashore that day. A loss rate of more than 13%. So it's a pretty brutal devastation at Omaha Beach for the American troops. But we did overcome the Germans. By nightfall, about 175,000 Allied troops and 50,000 vehicles were ashore, with nearly a million more men on the way that summer. So a very brutal...
It's horrible. And like you can go to... we went to the cemetery at Omaha Beach, and it's just, I mean, it's like one of the most profound things I've ever seen. It's crazy. It's just like fields and fields.
D-Day soldiers?
Yeah.
Or, wow.
Yeah. It's just fields and fields of like those white crosses, and some of them, most of them have like names on them, but some of them don't. But when you walk in, there's like kind of like a crescent shaped wall where like the people who died, their names are etched all, you know, on the wall. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the day we went was like super sunny, and it was probably close to June, but it was like, and I went with a friend of mine who is French. And so her father's French. And so we like, it was just kind of like, it was just so special to be there with like, as an American, with people who were of a different nationality, but like also like, you know, of a nationality that like, you know, it's their land. And
they were also severely impacted, you know, like,
so it is
crazy that it's one of those rare instances where this victory is celebrated across many countries.
Yeah.
You know, cause we usually talk about war specific battles or victories or losses in solely the context of the US, you know, like the major things that we see. But this one, it's like, you know, the British celebrate D-Day, the French celebrate D-Day. Yeah. Like,
I think
everybody celebrates D-Day.
Yeah. I think that's why, not that I have a favorite war, but I feel like World War II is a war that like I love to learn about, because it's like, it's everybody. And not that World War One wasn't, but I feel like also the reasons for World War Two are so just mortifying, and you know, like it's just largely impactful just on like an emotional and ethical scale writ large, that it just feels like, how can you not really connect to it?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I'm obviously glad that we won World War One, but like, really glad we won World War II.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, they're invading Normandy in order to defeat the Germans. So we'll just give you a little bit of Germany's response. So this is coming from history.com. For their part, the Germans suffered from confusion in the ranks and the absence of celebrated Commander Rommel, who was away on leave.
Dang, what a bad day to take a holiday.
Yeah, what a bad day to go for a hike with your family.
Do you think that was planned? Like, do you think that the U.S. would, or not the U.S., the Allies were aware of his, that he wasn't going to be there? Or
nothing I found said that they were. Yeah, nothing I found said that they were. Maybe, but, you know, maybe somebody high up knew that. But I don't know how they would, I mean, obviously there were spies, I'm sure. But, like, you know, maybe they did. Who knows?
No, I'm just curious. I mean, because I do think, again, we got... This was obviously super lucky. A well-planned attack, but this was really lucky.
Yep.
That really the guy... lucky that this panned out.
Yeah, because then the Germans under him were like, what do we do? Should we fire back? Like, what?
We didn't prepare for this. Who's in charge now?
Who's in charge now? At first, Hitler believed the invasion was a fake that was designed to distract the Germans from a coming attack north of the Seine River. He refused to release nearby divisions to join the counterattack. Reinforcements had to be called back from further afield, causing delays. So, like, not only is the commander guy not there, Hitler is also like, no, that's not, no, they're going to attack Paris. Like,
why would you attack?
It's not real.
They're going to attack somewhere else.
We're not sending you troops. They're going to attack Paris. And he refused to send troops.
Yeah.
He also hesitated in calling for armored divisions to help in defense. Thank you.
Oh my God, did nobody prepare for this? Jesus
Christ. Nobody prepared. They were like, for as much planning as the Allied forces had, the Germans were like, You're going to do what, when, where? Oh, you're here now?
Be right there. Hold on. Let me get my bearings.
Yeah, let me put my pants on. I got to go answer the door.
Real quick, check the north before we do anything. Nothing from the north? Okay, let's check the south, actually. No? Okay. It's here.
Love it. Moreover, the Germans were hampered by effective Allied air support, which took out many key bridges and forced the Germans to take long detours, as well as efficient Allied naval support, which helped protect advancing Allied troops. So, like, they woke up to this in the morning and, like, their bridges were gone. Like, if you...
They're like, okay.
I'm not advocating for this. I'm not saying that. But, like, if you were gonna, like, I don't know. If this was New York and you took out GW, like, that's it. The whole thing. That's it.
There's nothing. Like, we really rely on our bridges. Chaos.
You cause chaos and destruction for hours, days, while it all sorts itself out. And people are stranded. So, like...
Well, it's clear that the Allies obviously thought about this, not just from, like, the... how they were going to get on the beach and what was going to happen once they got onto Normandy. But they thought through every potential response that the Germans would have and tried to take out as many of those responses from being able to happen.
Yeah.
So it's really like a full, like, think of every type of scenario that could unfold with this invasion and let's try and counteract. Like, let's play off... Allies are playing offense and defense at the same time.
Yep.
And special teams, and they were the referee on D-Day.
Crazy.
So with that said, let's talk about the aftermath, because obviously, like we said, D-Day huge, and its effects even, I would say, bigger. So less than a week later, on June 11th, the beaches were fully secured and over 326,000 troops, more than 50,000 vehicles, and some 100,000 tons of equipment had landed at Normandy, so we wasted no time.
Mm-mm.
In the ensuing weeks, the Allies fought their way across Normandy countryside in the face of determined German resistance, as well as a dense landscape of marshes and foliage.
Yes, indeed.
By the end of June, the Allies had seized the vital port of, oh boy, Cherbourg. I didn't know you could say Borg in French. Cherbourg.
Cherbourg, yeah.
Cherbourg. Okay, they seized the vital port of Cherbourg, landed approximately 850,000 men and 150,000 vehicles in Normandy, and were poised to continue their march across France. By the end of August 1944, the Allies had reached the Seine River, Paris was liberated, and the Germans had been removed from northwestern France, effectively concluding the Battle of Normandy. The Allied forces then prepared to enter Germany, where they would meet up with Soviet troops moving in from the east. I forget that the Soviet Union is playing kind of on our side.
Yeah.
I totally forget that they're part of this sometimes.
They're part of the Allied forces in this. And
I know.
They, like, when the U.S. went in to, you know, liberate a lot of the camps, like, they then... There's something also a little bit weird, the Allied troops went in to liberate them, and then some of them, like, the Soviets then, like, did the work afterwards to, like, help,
yeah,
like, go through it all.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, something weird about, like, when I was in, I went to Sachsenhausen a couple years ago, and that's what happened there, like, the Allied forces liberated it, but then it ended up being, like, a Soviet... Like, I think people just stayed there for a while because they didn't mm-hmm. have any place to go. And it was run by the Soviets. And, like, it's just, like, that whole part of it I, like, had never really thought about. Like, which is so silly because if you're kidnapped, if your entire family is kidnapped and your home is taken away and then you're, like, liberated, like, where the fuck do you go? Like, where are you supposed to go? Especially because
it's, like, everywhere is... Destroyed.
Destroyed. I mean, it's just a war zone. Where are you gonna? Yeah.
Anywho, the Soviets are here and they're playing for our team. The Normandy invasion began to turn the tide against the Nazis, a significant psychological blow. It also prevented Hitler from sending troops to France to build up his Eastern Front against the advancing Soviets. So Hitler had all these grand plans. He had all these plans. He was like, I'm gonna put so much. He put all of his eggs in France's basket. And then we took his basket away and he had no more eggs.
Yep.
And then it started to unfold, basically.
Yep.
The following spring, on May 8th, 1945, the Allies formally accepted the unconditional surrender of Nazi Germany. Hitler had committed suicide a week earlier on April 30th. So, yeah, I mean, what? Less than a year later after, yeah. You know, if we say that basically Normandy pretty much ended in August, you're talking about, what, 8 months later, the war is over? Like, you turn the page here. This is where you trace it back to, is this battle.
Yep. 100%.
For sure.
So there is a World War II. There are World War II memorials all over. A lot of them are really beautiful. I highly recommend the Holocaust Memorial that's in Berlin, which is like kind of astounding. But so we're going to talk about the World War II Memorial that's in the U.S. It's located in Bedford, Virginia, and it's in Bedford, Virginia for a good reason. So I should say this is all coming from the World War II Memorial website. So this is saying why they are where they are. Like 11 other Virginia communities, Bedford provided a company of soldiers, Company A, to the 29th Infantry Division when the National Guard's 116th Infantry Regiment was activated on February 3rd, 1941. Some 30 Bedford soldiers were still in that company on D-Day. Several more from Bedford were in other D-Day companies, including one who 2 years earlier had been reassigned from the 116th Infantry to the 1st Infantry Division. So this particular soldier had already landed in northern Africa and Sicily before coming ashore on D-Day. Like, this was his, at Omaha Beach, like, this was his first, his third, like, landing for the war. And I just can't even imagine that. So then by day's end on D-Day, 19 of the company's Bedford soldiers were dead. Two more Bedford soldiers died later in the Normandy campaign, as did yet another two assigned to other 116th Infantry companies. Bedford's population in 1944 was about 3,200 people. Proportionally, this community suffered the nation's severest D-Day losses. They lost, like, almost all of the men that they sent. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recognizing Bedford as emblematic of all communities, large and small, whose citizen soldiers served on D-Day, Congress warranted the establishment of the National D-Day Memorial in Bedford.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I have no qualms.
I mean, our reasons aren't always clear, and I'm with you 100%.
This is so clear. I am with you 100%. So clear. The monument receives an average of 60,000 visitors a year and is a profound addition to America's war memorials. Initiated by D-Day veteran J. Robert Bob Slaughter, the structure encompasses more than 50 acres at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains, which just sounds so peaceful.
Sounds so pretty, yeah.
At its center stands a monumental 44-foot tall arch, embellished by the military name Overlord. That was given to the crucial operation. The arch is highlighted by a reflecting pool that surrounds a captivating scene that is symbolic of the arduous trudge soldiers made onto the blood-stained beaches of Normandy, France. Like, I like, this needs to go on my, like, things to see in America list.
Yeah, yeah, like, absolutely. I didn't know this was a thing. I'm so interested in it, and I'll post a picture of this on our Instagram. So go over there to see a picture of the memorial, because I mean just the fact that the arch is named Overlord is, like,
so good.
It's correct. So good.
Did not miss a beat.
So good. They hit the nail on the head with this one, I think. But yeah, I mean, that's D-Day. It really makes me, like, so I want to do, like, only episodes about World War II.
I know.
This needs to be a World War II podcast. I mean, it's not. We obviously will mix it up. But I think it's so appropriate that we started with D-Day, even though it is the beginning of the end of the war.
Yeah.
Because I think it's Like, I think it's just the perfect, it was just the perfect storm of bravery, of ingenuity, of leadership, of like yep. all of the things that you would, that like you see in the movies, when you see movies about war, it's like it all happened in this one battle. It's like luck.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, just crazy circumstances and every, and the fact that we won is just so insane.
Yeah.
There's we no won. Reason that we should have won.
No.
Except just like, not just luck, because there was obviously so much preparation, but dang, it's crazy that the Germans weren't more prepared.
No, and that they like made decisions against they made bad decisions. Their better judgment. Yeah, they made poor
Nobody
ass
made
decisions.
A good decision
no.
that day.
No.
Oh,
no.
man.
Yeah.
But that, I think this is a great start to our World War II journey. More to come, obviously. Happy D-Day to all. Again, it's going to be on June 6th, so definitely take a moment to appreciate, you know, just everything around you. Because this could have been a very different outcome, and we could be living in a very different world had it not have gone the way it did. So with that, I would just like to say, as always, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you could find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us. You can review us. You can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.